Exploring the Word of God together allows us to share in the joy that comes from discovering the words of hope and salvation which overflow from our Bibles. Upper Room Media presents to you this educational, enlightening, and entertaining Bible study. Prepare to be transformed.
We stopped last week at Galatians chapter 3, and I believe we finished verse 7. So we're going to continue begin from verse 8, God willing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. From verses 6 to 9, St. Paul is overcoming the main argument that the Judaizers has had. What was their main argument? The main argument was that Gentiles had to become Jews in order to become Christians. Without becoming Jewish, without becoming a Jew and fulfilling the law of the Jew, you could not be accepted as a Christian. You could not be accepted by God. And therefore, St. Paul in these verses is trying to really expose that flaw in their arguments. And in these verses, he says the real children of Abraham are not those who were physically born, were physically have the blood of Abraham, but rather those who have the faith of Abraham. This is why in verse 6 he said, just as Abraham believed, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. So therefore, this sonship is a sonship through faith. And these are the real children of Abraham. Not those who kept the law are the children of Abraham. And most importantly, he refers us back to this verse in Genesis, where Genesis 15 verse 6, where we are quite explicitly told, and he believed in the Lord, this is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then that Abraham was justified much before the law, and this justification came through faith. In verse 8, St. Paul continues this argument. And he says to us this very, very important fact that could easily be missed. And that is, he says to us that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And he says to us that this is a gospel that was preached to Abraham before anyone. How? God said to Abraham, gave Abraham a promise. And in that promise, God clearly said to Abraham, in you, all nations shall be blessed. He didn't say the Jews shall be blessed. He didn't say just the people of God shall be blessed. He said all nations, which includes the Gentiles. These Gentiles lived in darkness for a very long time. All their philosophies, all their logical thinking was unable to save them, was unable to protect them from their sins, from their pain. The Jews, on the other hand, also lived in similar circumstances, but they had the law. But this same law was unable to save them, unable to help them. It was only able to expose these sins so they can see. And this is why here St. Paul is reminding us that both Jews and Gentiles were in need, all nations were in need for a Savior. And this Savior is Christ. If salvation was going to occur through the law, God would have preached the law rather than preached Christ. God would have preached that, and he would have said to Abraham, in the law, all nations will be blessed. No, he said to him, out of your seed, out of the seed of your faith, out of your seed will incarnate the Son of God, the Savior. He is the one that is going to save the world. In verse 9 and 10 he says, so then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue on all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. Here, St. Paul begins a new argument. He finished this argument of Abraham and the fact that we are sons of Abraham through faith, not through the law. How Abraham was justified through his faith, not through the law and the circumcision, which actually came after the justification. Here, St. Paul begins a new argument. He says to us that this path of righteousness, this path of blessing that Abraham followed and God blessed him, and there's also another path, and this path is a path that brings upon us a curse. The path of blessing is in your seed, all nations will be blessed. That's the path of Abraham. Okay, what's the path of being cursed? He says to the Sanhedrin very clearly, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. The law is the path to a curse. Abuna, could that be true? Let's quickly, Keda, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 27. Sorry, Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 to 20 and 23. Have a look at what God says about the law. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. Oh, is this the right? Sorry. No, this is the wrong. I've got the wrong. The wrong reference. Deuteronomy 26:27. Chapter 26:27. I've taken out that. No, chapter 27:26. Chapter 27, verse 26. Here. Chapter 27, verse 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. And all the people shall say Amen. So where does the law lead us? It leads us to a curse. So therefore, the path of Abraham is the path of blessing. The path of the law leads to a curse. Why does it lead to a curse? Because who was able to fulfill the law? Who was able to observe all the law? Who was able to fulfill the law? No one. Absolutely no Jew was able to fulfill the law. So here, St. Paul is reminding them of this fact. He's reminding them of this weakness. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. Therefore, the path of the law is the path of a curse. It actually leads to being cursed. Everyone who is unable to abide in the law, who is unable to fulfill every aspect of the law, is cursed. And this becomes a question. And it's as if St. Paul is asking the Galatians a question. Have any of you been able to fulfill the law? All the law? Every aspect of the law? Because if you go to that law that you're asking me to place as a burden on the Gentiles to make sure that they are Jews before they can become Christians, that same law judges you to be cursed because you haven't been able to fulfill it. Did Abraham have sins? Absolutely. He must have had sins. But the type of faith that Abraham had allowed him to be justified and to be accounted as righteous by God in spite of his sins, in spite of his shortcomings, in spite of his misdeeds. You read the story of Abraham, there's a number of fatal errors that, some big errors that Abraham has made. Ishmael is one of them. But in spite of these errors, in spite of these weaknesses, in spite of these sins, God says to us, Abraham believed and it was accounted for him for righteousness. And therefore, this faith leads to blessing. And it's as if St. Paul is asking the Galatians here, which path do you choose? Are you going to choose the path of blessing or the path of curse? The path of faith or the path of the law? See, the faith of Abraham can very easily be summarized in that God was able to bring out life from death. That's what Abraham believed. That was his faith. He had faith that God could bring life out of death. Isaac, out of a womb that is death, that is dead, is born. Isaac to resurrect even after he is offered as a sacrifice to God. He believed that God is able to bring life. And this was the sign that this was the covenant between Abraham and God. The circumcision was a reminder of life from death. That is the faith that brings upon us a blessing. And therefore, it is our faith in Christ that grants us righteousness, that grants us the ability to bless, to be blessed. And this is what St. Paul is going to confirm again now in verse 11. What does he say? But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. St. Paul makes that declaration. He goes to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. And Habakkuk very, very clearly says, the just shall live by faith. And he uses that to witness to the Galatians that the path of life is faith. Habakkuk knew that. And Habakkuk was trying to tell us at the time that the believer is capable of escaping death, escaping condemnation, escaping eternal death through faith. St. Paul continues in verse 12 and he says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. The man that does them, yes. See, the law has some righteous ways of living. But it is not the law that justifies. It is the faith that gives us the ability to be saved. The beginning of the relationship, the starting point is faith. This is where we start. And he who has faith in Christ, Christ will aid him in everything. For without him we can do nothing. And therefore, the law becomes the result of the faith, not the faith the result of the law. The two are quite different. The law concentrates on the work. But the faith gives me Christ to live inside me. And when Christ lives inside me, I will then produce the works of righteousness, the works of the law. My works stem from the grace and the blessing that Christ gives me through my faith in Him. The works become evidence that He lives in me, that I'm saved by Him. St. Paul continues in verse 13 and says to us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is a difficult verse. In this verse, you can summarize the whole argument that St. Paul is making. See, we know and we've just seen that the person who is unable to fulfill the law places himself under the curse. And it's very, very evident that there was no one that was able to fulfill the law. Which means that everybody in the Old Testament was cursed. St. Paul Henner makes this declaration quite boldly. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All of a sudden, this law, St. Paul has proved to be a curse. And everybody has become under the curse. And this is exactly what the apostles confessed. If you go quickly together to Acts chapter 15, verses 8 to 11, you'll see the apostles basically saying that how they lived under the law and that the law was a curse to them. Verse 8, it says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Neither our fathers or we were able to bear. What is the yoke? That law. Here the disciples are very much confessing that this law was a yoke that they couldn't bear. This was a yoke that caused and put them under the curse. The law had many commandments that they were unable to fulfill. And here St. Paul reminds us and says, we were saved from this curse. How were we saved from this curse? When He carried our sins in His flesh and died under the curse on the tree. Deuteronomy 21 verses 22 and 23. Exactly says that to us. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, did this happen to Christ? Absolutely. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree. Why? But you shall surely bury him that day. Why? So that you do not defile the land which the Lord God is giving you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. He who is hanged is accursed of God. Yes. He became a curse. And St. Paul just says it together very clearly. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That is the verse that comes from Deuteronomy 21. And therefore, in this same understanding, we now understand how Christ became sin for us, carried sin for us. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, St. Paul says that, "For he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Therefore, Christ redeemed us from this curse by becoming cursed on our behalf, carrying sin in his flesh. Becoming sin for us, to save us. The priests of the Old Testament judged him that he was the breaker of the law, that Christ broke the law. And they fulfilled the worst punishment on him, the curse of the law, to hang him on a tree. A symbol of the curse, a symbol of the sin that he has become. And Christ accepted this judgment and did not complain, did not object. Because this is the judgment that was placed upon humanity, that he was happy to carry in his body, considering himself to be a sacrifice on behalf of the whole world. This curse is the curse of the separation from God. And he was happy to carry it so he can reconcile us to God. Saint Athanasius says this very clearly for us in his book on the Incarnation. He says, Christ has become a curse. He has become a sin to highlight how we were under a curse and under the power of sin. Therefore, on the cross, he took the image of a sinner that is guilty of sin, hanging on a tree to kill our sin, to overcome our sin, to carry away this curse. And this is why he became flesh, so that he can change that flesh from the flesh of sin to the flesh that can inherit eternal life. He took what is ours to give us what is his, without losing his divinity, without change or confusion or alteration. It's the confession we confess before having communion. And although he looked like he was cursed, he looked like he was sinful, he looked like hanging on a tree on our behalf, he kept his righteousness, he kept his holiness, he kept his divinity. But he did this to save us, so that we can be released from the curse of the law. And this is what St. Paul is trying to remind the Galatians. All this work happened so that you can be saved from the curse of the law. And here you are arguing, trying to put yourselves and to put the Gentiles back under that curse. Takes us back to the question that he was asking a few verses before. Choose which path do you want? The path of the curse or the path of the blessing. That the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When God gave Moses the law, He established blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. A curse is a strong condemnation. And Jesus was the most faithful Israelite to ever live. He fulfilled the law. He came to complete the law. He fulfilled the law completely. Yet He willingly paid for our penalty on our behalf. He took the curse upon Himself on the cross in our place, so that He can give us, we can receive the promise. What is the promise? The Spirit through faith. Which if you go back a few verses before, the promise to Abraham, in your seed, all nations will be blessed. And then St. Paul is going to speak to us how this promise is unchanging. This promise will never change. God's promise to us is a promise forever. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. God has kept His promise to Abraham. And His promise was the seed which is Christ, the Savior, the One. If you want to read the promise, go to Genesis 17, verses 7 to 8. God said to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, and all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. He continues in verse 13, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And then He'll eventually say to him that this is your seed. God has not revoked that promise. And though thousands of years have passed, God saved Abraham through his faith. And He blessed the world through Abraham by sending us Christ, His descendant, His seed, to save us. The promise will never change and will be fulfilled. And I say that, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. St. Paul very clearly just confirmed salvation was in the promise. The promise was fulfilled in the birth of Christ, the seed of Abraham. Salvation was not in the law. The law was merely a mirror in the Old Testament. Some of you might ask, and this is what we're going to do, not next week, and not the week after, because the week after we usually have a celebration for the resurrection. So in a couple of weeks, we will do the purpose of the law. So why was the law necessary? That's going to start from verse 19. Because the law has a role. But the role of the law is not to save us. That was the role of Christ. And that is the role of faith. If I have faith, I will follow the law. If I don't have faith, the law can't help me. And if I follow the law without faith, I'm not going to be saved. Because I'm not going to be able to fulfill the law. Which means I'm really not going to follow the law. Does that make sense? Reminds me of the verse where St. Paul says, the things I will to do that I do not do, and the things I will not to do that I practice. If I follow the law without faith, I will not follow the law. And he will give us what the purpose is from verses 19 to the end of chapter 3. Any questions? No? Alhamdulillah. Verse 13 was a hard verse. I hope it was easily comprehended. Huh? I've got to explain it again. Haram Alik. Explain verse 13 again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, if I can try and simplify that one further level. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? The fact that the law could not be fulfilled. Why were we unable to fulfill the law? Now, one reason. Separation from God. So what he's saying here is the law was a curse. That was the position of humanity. Humanity was cursed. The problem is not in the law. Problem was in humanity. And that was the state of humanity. Humanity was cursed because it separated from God through sin. It is that separation from sin through sin that made the law become to us a curse. Because no one was able to fulfill the law. So what he did on the cross, he deleted the curse. How did he delete the curse? By becoming a curse himself. Yes? By becoming himself a sin. Yes? By him becoming the sin, carrying that sin, he defeated the curse. And this is why I said to you, he took what is ours and gave us what is his. What did he take that is ours? It was that flesh that was suffering the curse of the separation of God. What did he give us that is his? Is the ability to now be reconciled with God. In being reconciled with God, the law is no longer a curse to me. Why? Because I am suddenly capable of fulfilling the law through him, Christ who dwells in me. There's no purpose for Abraham. Abraham received righteousness in the promise. In your seed, everyone was going to be fulfilled. And the law, and then he goes and he tells you a few verses later that the law came 400 years after Abraham. He reminds you here that it was 430 years after Abraham. Was the law come in place? And the law was there to prove to us that we are under a curse. The whole idea of the law, to show us, it was a mirror to show you, you're hopeless. That you need a savior. You need the promise. Yes? Huh? Old Danny. He slowed us down, huh? Isaac, I spent a good 45 minutes trying to write these 3-4 sentences, to write them in a way where no one says to me, this is hard. I tried to simplify it. To understand it, it took me a good half an hour before I could actually write the 4 sentences. That's why repeating it a second time maybe made it easier for me. It's a very difficult verse. That's why I said to you, verse 13 is very difficult. Galatians is probably one of the most difficult books I've had to do for St. Paul. Huh? And that's what I said, yeah, to prove to them that they needed a Savior. But he's going to give us the benefit of the law, verses 19. So verses 19 onwards, St. Paul now is going to continue the argument by telling us what the purpose of the law was. What purpose then does the law serve? Verse 19. So that's why he's going to start answering. We didn't get there yet. And by the way, verse 19 is as hard as 13. That's right. That's right. Yes. And that's why the choice of dying on a tree, the choice of dying on a tree wasn't haphazardous. It was actually planned. It was meant. So when you think about Passion Week next week, everything was in his plan. And this is why all the way in Deuteronomy he says to them, whoever dies on a tree is cursed. This is today when I went back to chapter 21. Oh my God. That's right. They had to take him down. Why take him down? Because he will become a curse to the land. Oh my God. And when you think of how bad hanging on a tree was, for Christ to accept to hang on a tree, that in itself is just incomprehensible in terms of the humility. And it was the worst death any Jew could have chosen, is that death. They used to take him down the same day and burn him and get rid of him quickly so the land doesn't get cursed that he actually got killed, that he hung or he died upon. And God accepted that. He accepted to be a curse. He accepted to carry the sin so that he can remove that curse. He can overcome that curse from our nature. Birahtak, esal. I like questions. Ah, the tree is the cross. That's how they...
The tree
is the cross, yes.
So the curse also applied to
the... And the left. All of them were cursed. Today you will be with me in paradise. Khalas. Why? Because Christ died on the cross. In dying on the cross, he deleted the curse. So that the right-hand thief could... Today, you are with me in paradise. Because today I have fulfilled the deletion of the curse. This is why right at the end, and you'll see that in Holy Week, he says, it is finished. I've done the work. Khalas. It's finished. It is finished. Yeah. That's right. That's why we now cease to exist for us who have Christ. This is why we can stand in his presence. This is why we can partake of, or not, they still live under the curse. Yes, that's why we say to them, you must come and you must be baptized so that you can die with him and you can resurrect with him. In resurrecting with him, that curse is removed. And then you can come and you can partake, you can actually join Christ, you can take, you can carry Christ and take him home with you. So he got rid of the curse. But I need to make that choice now. So I make that choice by making him my Savior by being baptized. Okay, but for all of humanity, God removed the curse for all of humanity. All of humanity now has access to God. They make the choice. Choose God or do not choose God. Okay, this is a bit of an error that sometimes the some of our brothers, the Protestants, take that to an extreme. Where they say he's already removed the curse. Everybody's going to be saved. Regardless whether you're faithful or not. No, that's not what he said. And this is where we're going to see better in the rest of the argument and the purpose of the law. Well, the law now has a purpose. What is its purpose? It's to actually explain to me if I've actually been removed the curse in my life or not. It becomes the law, all of a sudden becomes the evidence of the existence of Christ in me. Does that make sense? It is not a door through which I enter to Christ, which is what the Jews were trying to, the Judaizers were making the law as a way of entering into salvation. You must have the law to be able to have Christ. No, 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 no. I must have Christ to be able to fulfill the law, is what St. Paul was saying. So what the Judaizers did is they actually flipped the whole thing upside down to make it difficult for the Gentiles to enter into the faith. And as we start talking about the law, it will become more and more evident that it is the spirit of the law that is important rather than the actual action. So it's not the physical circumcision, but the circumcision of the heart that is more important than the physical circumcision. Yes? Huh? A whiteboard, a tape. Oh, it's okay. Yeah. But you had an hour conversation on Sunday, which is not fair to the rest. Now, it's not important for my salvation. It's not important to receiving salvation. It is important to completing salvation. Yes? So they misplaced the law in our lives. They misplaced it in the order.
But it's impossible to receive salvation
without the law. It's possible to receive salvation. It's impossible to complete salvation without the law. The law becomes the evidence.
I think
yes. You need to go back and read. Just read. I think we need to start from chapter 1 again and do the first 3 chapters again, because honestly, if you go back and read chapter 1 and 2, now they'll start making a lot more sense so that you can get to chapter 3. Christ. Nothing. Nothing. They couldn't. Nothing. No one was able to follow the law. That's why everybody went to Hades. Everybody died in the faith of the resurrection. That's why on Apocalypse Saturday, he descends into Hades to bring out the righteous from the tombs. All the ones that died in the hope of Christ, the Savior. Yes? All those who died in faith, no one fulfilled the law until Christ. So everybody that died, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Nathan, mention whatever name you want in the Old Testament, none of them fulfilled the law. They all died condemned by the law. Yes? But those that died in faith, the faith of Abraham that I said to you, that God could bring life out of death, they are the ones that God poured out from Hades on Apocalypse Saturday or Resurrection. In his resurrection. This is why this icon and this altar becomes very, very evident, where he has Adam and Eve and Abraham and David and all the Old Testament saints resurrecting from Christ. He went and he took them out of hate. His faith. They were just as cursed and they didn't have salvation.
Well, why couldn't the Gentiles back then receive salvation? Because they didn't have faith. He said their righteousness would come from their faith.
100%. That's why he said to Abraham, all your seed, all the nations will be blessed, including the Gentiles. And those from the Gentiles that actually had faith were saved. Rahab is an example. Yes? Those of the Gentiles that came into the faith were saved. Yes? It's a hard book. I didn't realize how hard Galatians was. Because it's such a difficult heresy. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.